The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
The central verse of Parashat Ve'etchanan is the quintessential statement of our faith. This was actually the idea that we concluded the meditation of last week, the unity of God, and that day God will be one and His name will be born. So that statement that we believe absolutely in the absolute oneness of God is the phrase, the verse that we are commanded to recite twice a day, but we're commanded to have in our minds 24 hours a day continuously. Hear, O Israel, God, our God, God is one. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So the topic which is most asks us to meditate upon it in this week's parasha is certainly this the verse of our faith in Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now in this verse, the most important word, the word that we're taught to meditate upon the most, is the final word, one, just the word one, which is written in Hebrew, Aleph Chet Daled, which it means one, and it means in this context the absolute unity of God. Nonetheless, like any other word, it's a compound of several letters. Here's three simple letters, Aleph, Chet, and Dalet, which respectively equal 1, 8, and 4 other numerical values. I mean, altogether, this word equals 13. And there's some relationship between 1 and 13, that oneness is reflected in the number 13, even Hashem's absolute oneness. We know that Hashem possesses 13 attributes of mercy. There are other very important meanings to the number 13. But we will now meditate on the letters of the word Echad, one, and how we are taught to envision, to see different images in these three letters that will help us come to the inner sense that we can't picture, just as the Torah says in this week's parasha itself. In the beginning of this week's parasha, Ve'etchanan, the Torah says that you did not see any picture. When God revealed Himself to us at Mount Sinai and gave us the Torah, so God is obviously above form. That's part of our faith in Hashem's absolute unity, that He has no form whatsoever, no body, no form, and no picture. Lo ri'item kol tmuna, you did not see any picture. So even though meditation is visual, the letters of our alphabet through which Hashem created the world are visual, but at the same time we have to live, especially in meditating, in the state of paradox, that we have vessels, it's called kedim, in order to connect ourselves to God. But actually, through these vessels and through the visualization, we're connecting to something which has no picture whatsoever. This is a paradox. But through pictures, through holy pictures, we're becoming one and becoming conscious of He who possesses no picture whatsoever. So this deep, essential paradoxical truth of the Torah comes to its climax in the word Echad itself, because Echad means absolute unity, and absolute unity, obviously you can't picture absolute unity, because anything that you can picture has parts to it, and as soon as it has parts, it's not absolutely essentially one. But as we said, the word one is a word and it has letters, just like Hashem's name, Hashem's essential name, which is also beyond form, absolutely, also has four letters to it, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that can be meditated upon, and each one has different images that correspond to the letters. Now, in the meditation on the word Echad, one, so there is one, not I can explain three meditations that all have a element of visualization to them. As we said, all of them are directed to become aware of God's absolute unity. The first is actually stated in the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch, that when we say the word one, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, so the Aleph refers to Alefo Sholam. The word Aleph actually means, as the name of the letter, means the master of the universe, and also its numerical value is itself one. So the master of the universe, he is the essential one. But then why are there another two letters to the word Echad, one? Because the second letter is Chet, which equals eight. And this is in order to meditate upon the fact that God's unity permeates creation. Both letters, both the Chet and the Dalet to follow. But there are two stages to the permeation of reality. Because even though we believe, we definitely believe that God is absolutely one, but He's not removed from creation. And creation appears to be plural and multiple and compound. So once more, the paradox of Jewish faith is that we see God's absolute unity reflected and permeating all of reality. So this itself is just exactly what we actually said before, because if God's absolute unity permeates reality, reality does have form to it and visual sense to it and pictures to it. So meaning that the absolute unity of God, which has no picture, permeates reality. So actually what we're now saying is the reverse direction of what we said previously. Previously we said that from the images we can return, it's called Ratzo, we can run up and away and beyond the images to God's absolute unity, which is above picture, above form and image. Now we're saying that the order of the letters of Echad teaches us to meditate that God's absolute unity, that that's what we begin with, the Aleph of Echad. And we can't contemplate that too much, it says in the Shulchan Aruch. You can't dwell on that Aleph for too long, because once more it's not tangible in any way. It has nothing that you can take hold of. But it permeates all of visual and imaginable reality. So first it permeates the Chet. What is the Chet? The Chet are seven firmaments that we're taught that the heavens have seven levels to them. And the eighth level is the earth. Now the seven levels are actually seven levels of above. The earth is below. And then comes the third letter of Echad, which is the Dalet, which equals four, and that corresponds to the four directions of earth, east, west, north, south. So first, we just contact the essence of our faith in God's absolute unity, and that the absolute unity is at one at the same time the master of the universe, meaning that there's divine providence coming not from any other source, God forbid, but only from God's absolute unity. And not only does He have providence and look over creation and take care of creation, but He also permeates creation. And that ultimately all is one, because all is God and God is all. But how do we meditate on that? We first feel this permeating divine unity coming down through the seven firmaments and reaching the earth. Meaning that there are seven levels once more of above and beyond, and then there's one level of below. And then comes the Dalet, which are the four lateral directions of the earth, which is east and west and north and south. This is the basic, most basic meditation on the word Echad that we're taught. And this in the Shulchan Aruch itself, in our code of law, Jewish law. Some people It's not the normal custom, but some people actually physically, when saying the word Echad, even move, have a head movement, to move the head up and down and then to the four sides, corresponding to the Dalet of Echad. The second stage of the meditation, which is actually taking the first stage just one step further, is that which is explained in Chassidut. It does not appear explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, but in Chassidut it appears that in saying Echad, since every Jewish soul is an actual part of Hashem, an actual part of God, Achelek Eloka Mimam Mamash, so in order to become one, to recognize God's unity, we have to simultaneously recognize God's unity with the source of our own souls. Meaning that meditating upon Echad is to meditate upon the, we'll call it the divine trip that the soul takes from descending, in descending from its origin point, totally at one and a part of God. That's the Aleph of Echad. Then the soul itself descends through seven firmaments. When there is the decree, the divine decree that the soul shall enter the body. So the soul, before it enters the body, has to descend through the seven firmaments, several spiritual levels, until it reaches the body. And when it enters the body, then that is what is referred to as the earth, the eighth level of descent. So first, the essence of the soul is a part of the actual part of God, that's the Aleph of Echad. And then it itself permeates reality by descending itself through the seven firmaments until it reaches the body. And then comes the Dalet of Echad. The Dalet of Echad is the mission of the soul on earth. That every soul on earth is an emissary of Hashem to spread the consciousness of Hashem to all creatures on earth, and to spread in all four directions, as God said explicitly to Jacob, to the third of the patriarchs. He said, "Ufaratzta yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negba," that you should spread out and break out. This is your purpose on earth, to break out in all four directions. And that purpose, in the purpose and the mission of man on earth, of each individual, I have to think that this is my purpose when meditating upon the Tao. It is myself spreading out, meaning spreading the consciousness of Hashem in all four directions. So there are three stages. The first stage is to sense the origin of the soul as a part of God. The second stage is to feel the infinite descent of the soul before reaching the body, until it does finally reach the body and enfold itself within the body. And the third stage is, what is my purpose on earth? Which is to spread in all four directions consciousness of Hashem. So this is the second part of the meditation. The third part of the meditation, once we're taking this one stage further, and there's actually an intermediate level here, that the four directions of earth, both in the first stage of the meditation and the second stage of the meditation, the word for direction is ruach. Ruach literally means spirit, or sometimes wind, air, wind. So each direction is called a wind. And every wind is a spirit. Now this alludes to two very important verses in the Bible. One, when the Bible in Yechezkel talks about the resurrection of the dead, so the verse reads, it's called the vision of the dry bones. The verse reads, "Mi'arba ruchot bo'ya ruach," that the spirit that is to be blown into the nostrils of the man that is now becoming resurrected, that resurrection is an image of the people becoming redeemed, because the people in exile is as though not alive, as dry bones. That's what the prophet says actually explicitly. In the exile we are just a bunch of dry bones. in order to bring us back to life, so from all four winds have to come the wind. Things from all four directions, may the wind come and then be blown into the nostrils of the dead bones, and they become themselves first connected to one another with sinews and flesh and skin over them, but they're still not alive. In order to make them alive, to come back to life, may arba ruchot boya ruach. So this is the complementary direction. Before, when we spoke about the four of Echad, it was going outward in four directions. Now we see that there's a complementary concept of the four directions, which are called the four spirits, that from all these four directions come inwardly the spirits of God to be blown into our nostrils in order to resurrect us, ourselves, to bring us back to life. Now there's another verse, which is a verse that in Isaiah that explicitly refers to the Mashiach, and it says the Mashiach himself, when he comes, God gives him four spirits, which are four winds, which are four directions. It said that it will rest upon him, is what the verse says, that on the Mashiach, and we're taught every one of us has a spark of Mashiach. That's why in our prayers we say, may this verse be fulfilled with respect to myself. This very verse about Mashiach, that four spirits descend and reside upon the Mashiach. And the first is called Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God. The second is called the Spirit of Wisdom and Understanding. Then there's Ruach Chokhmah u'Binah, Ruach Itza u'Gvurah. The next one is the Spirit of Counsel and Might. And the fourth is called the Spirit of Da'at v'Yirat Hashem, of knowledge or consciousness, and the awe of God. These are the four spirits of the Mashiach. So also in that Dalit, that actually in the Torah is written as a big Dalit, that big Dalit of Echad, there is a very clear allusion to these four spirits, which also descending upon the Mashiach. So now just to recall, the first is to understand Echad just vis-a-vis Hashem himself and his unity, his absolute unity, and how his absolute unity permeates all of reality. The second stage is to see this reflected in my own soul, the story, the trip of my own soul, of its descending to earth and then its mission in life. Then, now we're making a switch to the appearance of the Mashiach, which is the ultimate climax of all of history and the purpose of creation. As we just now said, and we're taught from the Baal Shem Tov, that there's a spark of Mashiach in each and every one of us. And there's something about Mashiach that the order now is in a certain way a reverse order, that it begins from four spirits and four winds coming to us, and four spirits residing upon us, and then we're able to go out and to redeem the world, really to bring Hashem's light and Hashem's absolute unity to the consciousness of all of creation. So in order to explain this, we'll begin with how this relates to all three letters of Echad, because we now just related Mashiach to the last letter, to the Dalit. But how Mashiach relates to all three of the letters of Aleph, Chet, Dalit. So we're talking in Chassidut a very beautiful idiom that we don't know exactly how Mashiach is going to appear. That he may just enter the door. An idiom. He may just enter the door, or maybe he'll fly through the window, or maybe he'll descend through the chimney. Three different possibilities. Now, the word for chimney in Hebrew, that is a word from the Tanakh, from the Torah, is arubah. Is written Aleph Reish Bet Hey. It begins with an Aleph. The word for Chalon, which is the word for window, is Chalon, which begins with a Chet. And the word for door is Dalet, which begins with a Dalet. meaning that these three letters that form together the word Echad are the initial letters of these three possibilities of how Mashiach, the Messiah, will appear to us. Techav and Biyad Mamash. Either he'll descend and appear from the chimney, which is the Arba the Aleph, or from the Chalom, which is the Chet, or he'll just walk, he'll just knock on the door and walk into the door. Now all of this refers to each one of us and ourselves. The order here of descending through the chimney seems almost like descending the seven firmaments in the earth, reaching the earth, as we said before. But just in our previous stages of the meditation, that was the second letter, it wasn't the first letter. Here it's now the first letter, the Aleph, which is the simple unity. I'll have to explain what this means. But it's clear that descending from through the chimney in relation to entering the window or walking through the door are three levels of that are progression from supernatural to natural. That's the first thing that we have to understand, meaning that the order of the letters of Echad are the most supernatural appearance of the Mashiach in ourselves and to the whole world, which is the descending the chimney, the Aruba, and something which is an intermediate between supernatural and natural is coming through the window, and something which is relatively just a purely natural way of someone coming, that someone comes, he knocks on the door, and you open the door, and he comes, he enters your home, Baruch Hapa. Now, since the descent here is from the supernatural appearance to a more and more natural appearance. So this also in ours, since our meditation is visual, so a different type of Mashiach altogether. But the Mashiach that enters the door is a human being. As we just said, who enters the door? Somebody knocks on the door, and it's just like an image that appears throughout the Song of Songs, that my beloved knocks on the door, and I open the door, and he enters. So as we'll go on to explain also, the appearance coming through the door and knocking on the door makes the Mashiach become like one's beloved, like my beloved. Meaning that the whole concept of the coming of Mashiach is an experience of two lovers coming together. Which is obviously unity, as a symbol of unification, of unity. If the Mashiach will come through the window, So who comes through the window? Usually human beings don't fly through the window. When you open up your window and something comes in, so what would you think it would be? Probably be a bird. A bird flies into the window. But a bird is an image in the Torah for the Mashiach. The Mashiach is waiting to redeem us, and for the time being he's in a nest, it says, in the Zohar. He's in the bird nest, the Kan Tzipor. So he's a bird, and if he appears as a bird, so obviously he'll come through the window. Birds don't knock on the door and enter the door, birds come through the window. Now, we'll explain what it means if Mashiach appears as a bird. Now, if Mashiach comes down the chimney, so you also might mistakenly think that it's a bird that happened to be caught up at the top of the chimney and that falls down the chimney. The birds don't like that. And obviously, Mashiach has something which is called lechatchila. So, lechatchila means the best possible way. So, definitely not the best possible way that a bird will fall down the chimney. What is a chimney for? A chimney is for fire and for smoke. Even we said that the word chimney is a word that appears explicitly in the Bible and is used together with smoke, the smoke of the Eshin Arba. In Kapala, the word smoke is an acronym for all dimensions of reality. It's called space, time, and soul. Olam Shana Nefesh. So, if Mashiach, the Mashiach comes through down the chimney, so he's not, neither is he a human being, nor is he a bird, an animal. He is smoke or fire. Because Mashiach can be anything. Mashiach is everything. If Mashiach descends down the chimney, which is the simple Aleph, so what does that mean? What does that imply about the coming of Mashiach? It implies that the coming of Mashiach is the total consumption and doing away with all evil on earth. It's all consumed, it's all burnt away. It's called Bi'ur Hara. And that good, these three ways of Mashiach coming are actually three different images of what we're hoping for, what a person hopes for and aspires for when he thinks about the Messiah coming to redeem the world. The world is full of not good. Whether it's conscious evil, people doing bad things, or simply suffering, whether it's human beings suffering or animals suffering, anything suffering in the world. Obviously, when Mashiach will come, there has to be an end to suffering. So if Mashiach means burning away, this is the idiom of burning away evil. So that is Mashiach just appearing as smoke coming down the chimney. If, on the other hand, Mashiach is the bearer of the tidings of peace to earth. So in Kabbalah we're taught that Tzipor, the bird, equals peace. And the bird is the symbol of peace. Internationally, universally. So once more, if the Mashiach is coming to bring peace to earth, which is a tremendously deep and important ideal, so then he is the bird flying through the window. If Mashiach is coming to bring Ahavah B'Ta'anugim, these are three successive states. It's all leading up to the most natural ideal of Mashiach, which is that that is expressed in the Song of Songs. Bringing to us the union, just as two lovers between ourselves and God, the Jewish people and God, and the whole world and God, which is the ultimate manifestation in our souls of Hashem's perfect unity. Just experiencing all of the Ahava V'Ta'anugim of the Song of Songs, the love of delight of the Song of Songs, that's one's lost husband, where the image throughout the Torah is that the husband is far away. And he's been away, and he's left me for years and years and years. And finally he's coming home. Finally he's coming home, and he knocks on the door, and I open the door, and he enters the door. And then the love between the two of us is infinite and unimaginable. That image of Mashiach coming through the door, of all of the three letters, the letter Dalet, the letter itself means door. So that's the most essential one of all. The Aleph is just the first letter of Aruba, of the chimney. And the Chet is just the first letter of Chalom, the window. Let us just make a parenthetical note that in English, many things can be learned from the English language itself. The word window comes from wind. Wind, as we said before, is ruach, meaning the window itself is inviting the wind to enter into it. The ruach mi'arba ruchot boya ruach, and the bird that flies on the wings of the wind with its own wings and enters through the window. But the most essential of all the letters is actually the Dalet, which as a letter, Dalet means Delet, which is door. Now, if we'll return and give to one part, just to conclude this thought, redemption, you can think of redemption just as the negation of what has to be. All bad things are done away with, are burnt up and burnt away. That's still negative. That's a negative feeling of what redemption is. It's a necessary beginning point, but it's definitely not the end. The second is peace. Peace, and universal, absolute peace, that's much better than just doing away with evil. And many people mistakenly think that that's as good as you can get, and that the utopia of Mashiach is no more than simply peace. But the true understanding is no, that absolute echad, as we actually said before, is that the word echad, which is 13, also equals ahava, which is love. And love is not just peace. Especially the higher levels of love are way above peace. In fact, we even taught in Hasidut that the very concept of peace only exists after the initial contraction of God's infinite light. Then one can speak of peace or war. But before the Tzimtzum, before the initial contraction of Hashem's light, as the Rebbe made a very important point of, we can't speak of peace at all, because peace is two opposing entities making peace or entering into a pact, a covenant of peace. But love, even though also you think of love as two lovers, but the two lovers are simply a manifestation of one absolute state of unity. And that's why love does exist before the Tzimtzum HaRishon, the initial contraction of Hashem's infinite light, because it's a manifestation of Hashem's light. And especially the highest level of love, which is called the love of delights, of pure delights, infinite delights. So that's actually the epitome then. It means that these three stages now, of Mashiach entering, coming down the chimney, and entering the window, and finally entering the door, just naturally, the final one, which is the natural one, is the essence. Because of the essence in love of fully revealing Hashem's unity. Now, just to make it simple, we spoke of smoke, of fire and smoke, which is not yet animate. And then it became animate as a bird. And then it became even more animate as a human, as one's beloved, one's husband coming home. Just to go back and to simplify it, as elements, as pure elements of creation. So we're taught that first the Mashiach comes as fire. Then he comes as wind. Ruach is the order of the elements of creation. And then he comes as water. And he comes to me, I am earth, dust. So this also perfectly fits into this final stage of the meditation of Echad. That the Mashiach coming as fire, as we just said before, that's descending the chimney. The Mashiach coming as wind is obviously through the window. Now the Mashiach coming as water very same word that means door also means a well of water. Yizal mayim midol yav, a verse in Parashat Balak that we read a few weeks ago, in the blessings that Bilam gave the Jewish people unintentionally. So one of the blessings is that the water, the holy waters that the Jewish people flow from the holy wells, which are in this verse called Dol Yav. So the same word that means door also means a well of waters. What is the image now? It says that in the desert, the Be'er, the spring of Miriam, followed us and joined us throughout all of our wanderings throughout the desert. And wherever we resided, in every campsite, so Moses would take a staff and a stream of water would enter the door, every single door of everyone's tent. The water would come straight, would flow straight into your tent. Now, water flowing straight into the door, that this is an explicit image of the Torah. So that water, as it's explained in the very first chapter of Tanya, is identical with the love of pleasures, the love of delights, Ahava Betanugim. So meaning that it's an abstract physical image. One's lover coming home is a stream of water straight from the well, from the fountain, entering the door. So once more there's fire descending from above through the chimney, and there's wind coming through the window, and there's water, the stream of Ahava, love and delights, entering the door. And all of this is sweetening with the revelation of Hashem's absolute unity, ourselves, which is the earth inside the house itself that we're living in. So first, meditate in the three stages upon God's unity and how that permeates all of reality. And then in the descent of our souls to earth and our mission on earth. And finally, the manifestation of Mashiach speedily in our days.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.